The image of king is an image, I think, that for the most part, we Americans do not connect to. Because we don't really have a sense of kings as caring, compassionate people. We don't have a sense of kings as people who are somehow connected to their people. And so perhaps it's a little difficult for us to identify with that concept of Christ the King. And yet, it is a powerful image, one that we ought not dismiss too readily. The first reading today kind of helps us set the stage for the gospel reading, and really for both readings. In that first reading from Daniel, it helps us to know just a little bit of the background. If you go to chapter 7 of Daniel, and I'd suggest you might want to do that, right at the beginning of the chapter it says, Daniel was in bed, and he had a vision. And in this vision, he saw four animals. Four very vicious, frightening animals. And it says that Daniel was terrified. Now, then as you go on into the chapter, it says the Ancient One took his throne. And Daniel's watching this, and he sees on the cloud the Son of Man, or one like a Son of Man, coming. And he takes his seat before the throne. And then it says, to him is given honor and glory and power and dominion. What is it all about? Well, those four animals were four kingdoms. Four great, powerful rulers. Vicious. And the Son of Man coming, taking his seat on the throne, is saying that those will be done away with. And this Son of Man is now the one to receive glory and power and honor and dominion. His kingdom will last forever. If you remember, Jesus identifies with that concept, that name. He often calls himself the Son of Man. He is telling us that what was foreseen by Daniel is now going to be lived out in his very person. He is the Son of Man. He is the one who receives glory and honor and power and dominion. He is the one who will set up a kingdom that will never end, that will last forever. Now, the important part is that you and I are invited to that kingdom. We are invited to share in that reign with Christ Jesus because we have been reborn into oneness with him in baptism. But we have to look at the kind of king he is. He's not a worldly king. He doesn't rule by military might, by dictates. He rules by love and by service. He is the king who pours out his life in service, who in the end mounts the throne of the cross, that cross which we signed on these candidates this morning. That's his throne. He reigns from that throne as he gives himself fully, totally to us so that we might come to the fullness of life. It is this king that you and I have become part of through baptism. It is this king that you and I are invited to serve as he has given his life for us. We are asked to serve him with our lives, to give ourselves to him so that he can lead us to the fullness of life. We are to be part of this kingdom. But we also have another role, and that is the role of spreading that kingdom to the ends of the earth. We are to invite people to become one with Christ Jesus, to share in his great reign. We are to, as Matthew's gospel says, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we focus on that, then I think we see the importance of those pillars that I was talking about several weeks ago and the bishop talked about last week. Hospitality, prayer, formation, service. And this morning I want to focus on hospitality with this group right here in front of us. We must welcome them into our community of faith. We must in some way open our arms and embrace them. Bring them in. We must share with them our way of life. Must invite them to pray with us. To come to know Christ Jesus through the scriptures we proclaim, but through the lives that we live. And obviously, we are to serve them. But we are also to teach them to pray. To teach them to serve. They are to become disciples of Christ in our midst. And of course, if we are going to help them do that, we must become even better disciples ourselves. We must follow him more closely. We must give our lives to him more fully. We must make him indeed the center of our lives, the King whom we love, the King whom we honor, the King who gives us everlasting life. If we can center our lives on him, we can teach them or show them how to center their lives on Christ Jesus, so that through Christ Jesus, they will come to the fullness of life.